I want to read in your hearing a few verses of the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I want to use for subject this morning the answer to the world's chaos. The answer to the world's chaos. It was Henry Kissinger who said, "The world is in chaos. Fundamental upheavals are occurring in many parts of the world simultaneously. Most of them are governed by disparate principles, principles that are poles apart." The tempting temptations back in the 60s and 70s sang a song, "Ball of Confusion," said, "People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of their skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on." Well, the only person talking about love thy brother is the preacher, and it seemed nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to our nation. Ball of confusion. That's what the world is today. Then it ended up saying, "Round and round and round we go. Where the world is headed, nobody knows. Great Googa Mooga. Can't you hear me talking to you? Just a ball of confusion. That's what the world is today. Let me hear you. Let me hear you. Let me hear you. Ball of confusion. That's what the world is today." Chaos is complete disorder. It's confusion, havoc, upheaval, turmoil, even described as a three-ring circus. We are experiencing a world in chaos. The world of politics in America, it's just like a three-ring circus. Terror, locally and globally, is mayhem. The growing racial divide in our nation and in our world is madness. The increase of violence is causing upheaval everywhere. Illnesses that attack us suddenly leave us in disarray. Weather extremes, like what's happening in Hawaii, the volcanic eruption, seems as all hell is breaking loose. The disappearance of rules of law is anarchy. Chaos is very pervasive. Ensuing, and it's affecting every institution, our homes, our schools, our churches, and even our government. It's easy to find ourselves asking, is there an answer to the complete disorder, chaotic world in which we live. I believe that when John wrote the gospel, and he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he said, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Here's what he said, and this caught my attention. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Watch this. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The answer to a chaotic world is Jesus Christ. Always has been. Always will be. But John does something interesting. He connects his gospel with the beginning of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But have we ever really paid close attention to verse number 2? When he says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And watch this. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. John picked up on that verse, and this is what he does. He pays attention, and he sees that nestled between, God created the world and let there be light, that what God created was first chaotic. What God created first, before there was light, was a global mess. And it was only until God, through the Spirit, moved upon the face of a chaotic world, that there was the true creation that we now experience. Light comes out of a chaotic situation. It's amazing that verse 2, you would think it's out of place. God did not have to put verse 2 in the scripture. But why did he do it? I believe he did it to show us that out of chaos, God is able to bring about a beautiful creation. In verse number 2, John picks it up, and notice he says that the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. So the development of John's gospel, the seed of it is in verse number 2 of Genesis chapter 1. That God is the answer through Christ. And the reason that he wants to bring Christ in is because he says that, I know when you read Moses, he just says God, Elohim, the plural of God. But I want you to know and understand that the plural God is a God who is composed of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when you think in terms of a lesson, Jesus Christ in coming to the world proves that he came to bring about a resolution to a chaotic world. The Bible says when he came to a wedding, what did he do? When they ran out of wine, Jesus turned water into wine. What was seemingly chaotic, he now was the answer to the situation in Cana of Galilee. A nobleman's son got sick, bringing chaos to the family. And over a distance of 20 miles, Jesus was able to bring about a resolution to the chaos of that home by telling the man, "Go home, thy son liveth." A lame man, 38 years without the use of his limbs, what does Jesus do? Jesus tells the man, "Take up thy bed, walk." A man's life who has been chaotic for 38 years, Jesus suddenly brings about a brand new experience. Why was he walking on water? He wants us to understand that the water is under my control. I walk on water. He came to Bethany and they told him that his friend Lazarus was dead. Jesus said, "Just show me where you laid him." He showed us that even death is so chaotic in the world that I've got the power over it. I am the resurrection and I am the life. He goes on to say that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come unto the Father except he come by me. Please understand that the answer to what's happening in our schools, the answer to what's happening in our communities, the answer to what's happening in our government, Jesus is the answer. God has given him to a world that's chaotic in order to bring about the resolution that we need in order for us to live in peace and harmony and to be able to experience the goodness of life. Some of you young people who are graduating and you're on your way to college, please hear Brother Gibbs. You're going out into a chaotic world, a world that will not make sense. And I'm pleading with you. What you have learned from us, even though you may not be able to really see it fully, just trust us. Trust us. Jesus is the answer to a world that is so disjointed and so evil. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He's the resurrection. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the true vine. Point number two. If you notice the way John, he said, "In the beginning was the Word." The answer to a chaotic world is not only just Jesus, but the Word of God. And then John says that the Word of God is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. All things were made by him. So the Word is a him. But the Word is that which God speaks to us. That which you and I have now had revealed to us through the Holy Scripture. Which is the breathed out word of God that has been written for all generations. May I say to us that when God created everything, he did it by starting with a formless void and then shaping it with his word. I said that, I'm going to say that again. He shaped it with his word. He did that to show that in the same way, our lives that are formless, void, until the word of God comes in to bring life and peace, your life is nothing but disorder and chaotic. The opposite is true as well. When God's word departs from our lives, they descend back into chaos. When God's word is rejected, order becomes disorder, light becomes literal darkness, and goodness becomes terror. Sin tears creation apart, and it does it at the seams. The word of God creates, the word of God puts back together. While sin decreates, the word of God not only creates, but it recreates. And that's without exception. Adam and Eve were doing well until they rejected the word of God and chaos. Samson was doing well until he allowed sin to come into his life. The word of God is so important that I don't have time, because I know the time is not my ally, but I want you to read Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 3. But the verse number 3, I want you to focus on this with me. And he said, and he humbled thee, talking about Israel, suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man. Oh, when I read that, I said, I've read it for years, but I've never noticed that he didn't say to make you know. He said, but to make man know. Well, Brother Gay, why is that important? It's because he said, the principle that I'm making with you is that you can't go through this wilderness. You can't go through and make it to the other side without me. I'm purposely leading you into a chaotic wilderness where you have no food, where you have no water. And the reason I'm doing it is to show you that in the midst of wilderness, I'm able to feed you with manna from heaven, water from a rock. I fixed it where your clothes didn't even wear for your back. All I'm trying to do is teach you that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He didn't say some word. He said every word. Now, I got to thinking about another passage, and that is Ezekiel 37. And I asked myself, I say, why did God take Ezekiel out there and show him a valley full of dry bones? To show Ezekiel and show his people that out of the midst of chaos, he said, Ezekiel, preach to the bones. Give the bones my word and watch what the bones gonna do. You know, even when God made man, he could have made man any way he wanted to. But you know how he chose to make him? He made him out of dust. God said, I'm going to show you what I can do with dirt. And when he made woman, he could have made the woman. But guess what he did? He took old rib. In other words, I'm going to show you that, man, you don't limit me. I am the answer to your chaos. If I can make a man out of dirt and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, don't tell me what I can't do for you. All I'm saying to us, dry bones, a chaotic nation, hear the word of the Lord. A chaotic home, hear the word of the Lord. A chaotic church, hear the word of the Lord. The power is in the word of God. God can do it. And I know I'm right because I tried it. I tried it this morning. I knew what I was going to preach, so it was already in me. We were getting ready to come to service this morning. And I was ready. And I had a certain time I wanted to leave so I could be here to fellowship. And here comes my beautiful wife. I'm ready to go. I just knew she was coming out ready. She came out with a skirt, headed toward the ironing board. Don't look at her. Don't look at her. Don't look at her. Don't look at her. My first mind was. What were you doing last night? It's about to be chaos. But I decided, no chaos this morning. I said, I'm going to apply the word of God. And I heard the word of God say, love your wife. Even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. Be angry and sin not. Once that got in my spirit, I said, you know, that was a time I needed a button sewn on. She stopped doing what she was doing. Sewed my button. That's what she did in the past. I started thinking about all the good things. I said, baby, give me the skirt. I just reset the clock. I said, I'm going to be late this morning, so it don't matter. But I earned that skirt. I made sure that the temperature was right where I wouldn't scorch it. I put love in it. I said, it has another wrinkle. I said, I want this girl to look good when she step out. You check her out. She looks good. I earned that. So you know what we got now? Peace. We rode all the way over here in peace. Now if I had taken the other course, I'd have been mad. She'd have been mad. Chaos. I wouldn't have been able to preach this morning. She'd have been there sitting looking at me all cross-eyed. I say, thank you, Jesus. You're the answer. That's just one example. So many of us, instead of allowing every word of God to permeate our spirit and our souls, Living by the word of God instead of living by your emotion. Living by what you feel and what you think and what I'm not getting. That causes the world to become chaotic. Roseanne Barr had a good thing going. I was enjoying her show. But she let something get in the way. And it brought chaos. Some of y'all got good marriages. You let chaos. Some of you young people doing well. Somebody comes and offers you something. Now you got chaos. Rap on, brother. Rap on, brother. I'm rapping now. And the reason is because God is true. Amen. When we refuse to let the light in. And my last point is this. The church, his church, not only is his word, but his church, that's us, are in participation with him to bring order to this world. That's our job. And all I'm saying to us as I close, because there's many, many ways to approach this, but I think you got the message. And that is that he's reconciling the world to himself, but he's using us as ambassadors. Ambassadors. And you got to believe that Jesus is the answer. I mean, listen, you got to believe that. And so when you really believe that, oh, so much good stuff here. But let me tell you this. Chaos does not win ever. Whenever God and Christ and his word, and we got to believe that. Christ holds the victor's crown. He stands undefeated, unshakable, and undeniably in control. Christ sees the beginning from the end, and we can only stand at attention to his call. Christ is not worried. He's not fearful or discouraged. He is the rock we must run to every single time. And we, like generations before us, are growing to see him move in a powerful way. But we're going to have to become his ambassadors. I'm going to ask you one question. Have you ever noticed that there is in life a bridge? Have you ever seen troubled water? You've seen how a bridge connects from one side to another side, and it allows you to overcome. That's what Jesus is. He's a bridge, but the church is a bridge as well. You and I are bridges. There's another picture in our society, and that's a roadblock. Now, roadblocks are set many times purposely. See, it's a difference between the road is blocked and a roadblock. See, the officer many times will set up a roadblock because he doesn't want you to. If there's trouble ahead, then maintenance will set up a roadblock. Are you with me? Because there is something on the other side, you see, there's danger. Now, my question to you, there are people in this world who want to get to Jesus, who need to see him, that they can be affected by the light, by his great word. And I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm through. Are you a bridge to Christ, or are you a roadblock? Are you a bridge in your home? Or are you a roadblock? Are you keeping people from seeing Jesus? Or are you allowing people to come to Jesus? The answer to the world's problems is his word and his church. We must carry it. We must live it. We must be it. We are the answer. And I pray that all of us will allow our faith to strengthen in this, cultivate in this, and then let's pass it on to the next generation. Jesus is the answer. If you're here, believe his word. If you're here, repent of your sin. If you're here, confess him to be the Son of God. Go down with him in the water grave of baptism. There's someone here who has yet to give their life to Christ. Someone here who has yet decided that Jesus is the answer. Will you make that decision now? Will you say, yes, he is the answer? Anybody who could open blinded eyes and make lame folk walk and make deaf folk hear and could go down in the grave and then get up on the day that he said he's going to get up, and that is on the first day of the week, and say, all power in heaven and earth is mine. I believe him, and I've seen him work in my own life, and you ought to be able to take advantage of that as well. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?